बिहारी जय राघव माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवरुद्धारी गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवरुद्धारी ईश्वरानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन ईश्वरानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरा बनकारी यमुना तीरा बनकारी परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरश्री श्रीमरे श्री भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपार की श्रील प्रभुपार की जय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि गो समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय आगरे श्री असमल भवती आगरे श्री असमल भवती आगरे श्री असमल भवती आगरे श्री श्री गुरु गौरांग Tonight I'm going to speak on a topic about advanced stage of consciousness, advanced stage of Krishna consciousness. Last night I was giving a lecture small group, and at the end, someone asked about the different stages one goes through to attain love of God. Now, even this principle itself is something that distinguishes us from other, quote, religions. We don't even necessarily like to use the word religion in reference to ourselves. Because what goes on by the name of religion is generally people think that if they're just a good person, follow the rules, then they'll go to heaven. There's no concept that, there's really no concept of purification of the heart or purification of consciousness or the desire or even the understanding that one can progress to higher and higher and deeper levels of love of God. They say, I love God, and well, that's the end of it. What more is there? I love God, and I don't have to aspire for anything. But we know that there's love of God, and then there's love of God. There's prema, as we learned about in our literature. What it really means to love God. That's one of the great contributions of our spiritual line, getting a full understanding what it really means to love God. So our teachers in our line, acharyas, they've spelled out different steps. I'll just cover those briefly, and I want to speak about one of them in particular. So the steps up to prema, which is pure love of God, begins with shraddha. Shraddha means faith. You have to have a little bit of faith in the beginning that this is something worth pursuing, that there is such a thing as pure love of God, and maybe these people have it, or this person has it. So the next stage is to associate with people who are on that path, and especially to accept a guru among them and become initiated, and then begin a regular practice of spiritual life, a daily routine of spiritual practices. We call this sadhana. You do it every day, consistently, and you don't give up persistently. That's sadhana, regulated practices. So as one does these things, now ours, of course, our practice is centered on chanting the names of Krishna, hearing about Krishna, talking about Krishna, everything Krishna. In essence, our spiritual practice is just to connect with Krishna as much as possible throughout the day, every day. So as a result of those regular practices, then the heart begins to be purified. Anartha nivritti. Anartha means undesirable things or unwanted things, things that contaminate our vision. Actually, God is everywhere. He's here right now. He's present everywhere. But we don't see Him because our hearts are contaminated. What does that mean? When the heart is contaminated, it means you're looking elsewhere. That's why you can't see. You're looking to find success and happiness and fulfillment through something other than God. So this is one of the anarthas. This is maybe a broad way of describing it. Dirty things in the heart. I'm going to mention also bad qualities, greed and lust and anger and so on. Krishna lists in Bhagavad Gita. So all of these things separate us. They create a wall between ourselves and God because God is the supreme pure. So we have to be purified of these things. There's that stage, anartha nivritti. So it can take some time to get rid of all of the contamination within the heart. Then as one progresses, then you get to the stage, it's called nishtha. Nishtha means firm faith. And firm in one's practice also. In the beginning, we may waver somewhat in our practices. We may be enthusiastic one day. Yes, today I'm going to just chant all day long and remember Krishna. The next day, oh, I'm tired, let me sleep a few extra hours, whatever. So, but nishtha means you're firm. And you have firm, unshakable faith. That this is the supreme goal of life, and this is what I must be doing. And also then one begins to, and the next stage is called ruchi. Ruchi means you get a real taste. In the beginning of spiritual practice, It's difficult. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, this mode of living, the mode of living in goodness, pure goodness in relationship with God especially, he says it's like poison in the beginning, but it's nectar at the end. Well, it's poison because we have to control ourselves. We're in the stage of practice, which means we have to do things we might not necessarily like to do. We have to give up things we might not necessarily like to give up. But when one gets ruchi, a real taste for it, then one loves to do it, one loves to do these things. One can chant Hare Krishna all day long, not get tired, really taste it. So the next stage is called asakti. Asakti means to be real, start beginning attached to Krishna. Real attachment, where you can't not think of him. Your whole life, the idea of not having the association of Krishna or Krishna's devotees, somehow living a life devoid of Krishna, it's unthinkable. It's worse than hell. Kaivalyam narakayate. Those who want to merge into the nothingness, essentially, they want to give up the connection without anything. But we're not aspiring for that. If you think that's the goal of what we're doing here, you're in the wrong place. We're not trying to merge into anything, lose our individuality. If we want to merge, we want to merge in love for Krishna. So we can't think, especially as one advances more and more, even every thought has to be about Krishna. So asakti, very strong attachment. Then the next stage is called bhava. And that's when these others, they intensify to the point where the body actually erupts with transformations. Hair standing on end, tears flowing from the eyes profusely, trembling of the body. These things are described. Transformations. The idea is that when you really contact that spiritual atmosphere or spiritual personality of Krishna, you start getting that touch, that love for Krishna is so intense that the body can't handle it, really. You're really getting into spirit at that point, and spirit is so powerful. Spirit, pervert, is what makes everything happen. Spirit is life. Spirit is power. So when you get in touch with Krishna, the Supreme Spirit, when you love him, that's how you get in touch with him, then the body, sometimes it just becomes overwhelmed by the happiness, is what it is. The happiness erupts like a volcano, and the body just goes haywire, basically. So that's the bhava stage. Prabhupada would refer to that as a preliminary stage of love of God. So that's not the ultimate, although some of these symptoms remain. But the final stage then is prema, pure love for God. So I wanted to speak something about the bhava stage. Now, of course, this is a very, very high level of love of God. It's a high level of realization. It's a high level of purity. And what happens sometimes is that people who are not on that stage, they imitate these symptoms. Now, we may not see this so much here, but in India, you might find it, that people, they'll go into a temple and roll on the floor and, you know, go into convulsions and so on. And people will think, oh, here's a great self-realized soul. But really what they're doing is just putting on a show, trying to impress. So that means their heart is still very contaminated. They're a long ways from what bhava actually is. So there's another way to recognize, because going back to what I was saying at the beginning, sometimes people want to know, well, you're on this path, well, what does it look like when you get there? In Bhagavad Gita, also Arjuna asks Krishna, what is a person who's fixed in transcendence, what does he do? What does he say? How does he walk? What are his activities? What are the characteristics so we can tell? So in these stages, the symptoms of bhava, they're called anubhava. Literally, anubhava means to follow bhava. So the ecstasies, they're a kind of anubhava. If you reach that stage, then the ecstasies may manifest themselves. But these other things, these are also anubhava. And these are more, it's harder to cheat with these. Now we may see some of these things in ourselves, maybe. We have some pinch of some of these characteristics, and we may see them in others. But that doesn't necessarily mean that someone who manifests some portion of these, or maybe even all of them to some degree, is on the bhava stage. The bhava stage means all of them all of the time. Full. Because we're talking about just the stage before complete perfection and love of God. So there's a list of these. The Sanskrit is Chantir Avyarta Kalatvam Viraktir Manashunyata Asha Bandha Samutkanta Nama Gane Sadaruchi Asaktis Tadgunakyane Pritis Tadvasate Stale. That's the list of the, is it eight of them? And then, Ityarayo Nubhava Sur Jhatu Bhavankure Jane. So this just says, when the seed of bhava is manifesting itself, these things will begin to show. So the first one is Kshanti. This verse that I quoted, it's quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's actually from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami. And Srila Prabhupada, in his Nectar of Devotion, he speaks on this, of course, because it's quoted there. So Kshanti means perseverance. It's also sometimes translated as forgiveness and forbearance. So the idea is that, now we're talking about the all of these things are in the context of one's spiritual life and one's endeavor to be a lover of God. So as one is pursuing that path, perseverance means unshakable. Whatever happens, one is still determined to go on with one's Krishna consciousness, one's mission. All of these things, as soon as you start talking about them, you immediately think of Prabhupada as the example. All of these different qualities. Because he, of course, manifested all of these things. We think of him coming to America, what his perseverance was. Just leaving India, 69 years old, he celebrated his birthday on the ship. And everyone was telling him, no, you can't go. What? The vision from India was that America is, it's like hell, basically. People there, they're all meat eaters. People told Prabhupada, they only have meat there. You won't find anything to eat. And he said, well, they must have potatoes. I'll just eat potatoes. So that was his determination. If he had to just eat potatoes, he was going anyway. So he was getting all kinds of discouragement, but he persevered. Even on the boat there, he had heart attacks on the way. In the middle of the ocean, in the sea, Prabhupada had never been on a journey. I mean, 37-day journey on a freighter, bouncing up and down. And it's extremely uncomfortable. I think about it sometimes. Usually we have some discomfort. We can adapt some. We can make some change. If your car's sick, then you stop the car and get out. But when you're seasick, or the ship is, it's tilting. Sometimes they go, you see, they go down, and you know, you're going for hours and days at a time sideways, and the thing is rocking. And what can you do? Jump off the ship? There's nothing you can do. So you're almost 70 years old, and you have to tolerate this. So now, no wonder he got sick. But still, he persevered. When he got to America, he wasn't discouraged. The example given by Srila Rupa Goswami is Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj was told that he was going to die in 7 days. So he didn't go berserk or decide, oh, now it's a time for that trip I always wanted to go on. And that's what people, that happens now, if they find out they're going to die, they say, yeah, now I always wanted to go to Italy. Now I'll go to Italy. I'm going to die soon. They think of some sense gratification they're going to do. And he wasn't afraid. He just gave up everything. Left his kingdom, left his family, left his animals, and this is even mentioned in the Bhagavatam. His animals are mentioned. And he went to the bank of the Ganges to fast, but mainly to hear about Krishna. He speaks in one verse, he says, because he was cursed to be bitten by a snake bird, some kind of mystical creature, a flying snake. So he said, let this snake bird or whatever mystical creature this boy has conjured up come and bite me when it's time. Just go on reciting the glories of Krishna. Just talk about Krishna. That's all I want to do for the next 7 days. He wasn't disturbed. He was peaceful. He was peaceful in mind, hearing about Krishna. So this Shanti, now again, we can say, well, I see people, younger devotees, they're not on the highest stages, but they persevere. But we're talking about full and constant manifestations of these things. The next one is Abhyartha Kalatvam. When Srila Prabhupada has these in Nectar of Devotion, he starts with this one, even though the verse starts with the other one. And he would often refer to this one. Avyartha Kalatvam means to be very careful not to waste a moment of time. So we can say, well, I was thinking of this, that just like when we, many of us, especially older devotees, we may have lived in an ashram at some point. So we didn't waste any time there. Somebody was telling us all day long, do this, do that. We weren't wasting time. But it wasn't necessarily voluntary. It wasn't coming from the heart. It was a stage of practice. We knew, yes, I need to try to be engaged all the time. But for the advanced devotee, the bhava, it's his ecstasy that, no, I have to serve Krishna constantly. Not a moment can be wasted in something else. Because Krishna is the only reality. Everything else is just illusion. What to speak of wasting a moment? Today people, they don't save a moment. They waste their whole lives. Whole life is wasted. Bhagavatam says, better one moment of full consciousness than a whole life wasted. So people waste their lives. There's a quote by someone who was dying. I don't know who it was. He said, I wasted my life. I wasted time, and now time is wasting me. So that's a fact. That's what happens. Time wastes all of us. So especially if we waste time, then the whole life goes by without any gain. It's something extremely valuable. Srila Prabhupada would preach on this point over and over and over again. The value of human life. Don't waste a moment. He would tell us, his instructions to his disciples, 24 hours a day, you should be engaged in Krishna's chanting Hare Krishna or reading. He would say, whenever you have a free moment, chant Hare Krishna, read Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. So Prabhupada wanted us to apply this principle. He would quote Chanakya Pandit, Ayushakshana ekopi nalabhya swarna koti bi. The time is so valuable. We think things are valuable. Well, just like today, if you have money, you can get pretty much everything. We live in an age where you can import anything from anywhere in the world if you've got the money. And very rich people, they do, and they have all kinds of degraded habits, and they get all kinds of things. So they think, I have enough money, I can buy the world. But Chanakya Pandit says, you can't buy back a moment of time, no matter how rich you are. So what's more valuable? This whole world or a moment of time? You never have enough money to buy that back. So this is, again, these are the pure devotee spontaneously thinks like this. And we have to hear about it, contemplate it, become convinced of it. Yes, human life is so important. I shouldn't waste any time. The next symptom is called virakti. Virakti means detachment. Now, actually, in order to use all your time for Krishna, there has to be a sense of detachment there. You have to be detached from doing other things. You have to be detached from concerns about this world. You may have to change your goals in life, what you desire. So virakti, detachment. The nice example is given in the Bhagavatam also. You know how the Sanskrit begins. Jaha yuvaiva malavat uttama shloka lalasa. The example is Bharat Maharaj. We have his story in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bharat Maharaj. He's most famous because in a very advanced stage of spiritual life, he fell down because he was attached to a pet, a little deer, a little fawn. It was just too sweet. He gave up all his spiritual practices, taking care of this fawn, and he had to take birth as a fawn. But before this, while he was king, very powerful king, in his life, royal life, he was cultivating spiritual life, and he rose to a high level of spiritual realization to the point where he just gave it all up. Virakti. He became detached. Gave up his family, gave up his kingdom, his wealth. Extremely high level of opulence. He gave it up. Why? Uttama Shloka Lalasa. A name of Krishna's. Uttama Shloka. Uttama Shloka means he's praised in the most refined poetry. Uttama Shlokas. The highest shlokas. The highest verses. He's praised with the greatest poetry because he's so wonderful. So Uttama Shloka Lalasa means he was dragged from his situation by his attachment to Krishna, by the pull of Krishna. Krishna is all attractive. His name means pull. Actually, the Sanskrit word Krish means to pull. Just like a person, a farmer is called Krishi because they pull a plow. So Krishna, he's pulling. He's attractive, the all-attractive one. But somehow we're blocked. We have a lead shield around us, so we're not getting there. Krishna rays aren't pulling us enough. But when the heart is cleansed, then that pull, one feels that very strongly. So Bharat Maharaj, he was able to just give it all up. In fact, there's a graphic, the Sanskrit is a little graphic. It says, Jaha Yuvaiva Malabhat. It says, just as one passes stool and then walks away from it, that's how he left it all. It had that much, he was attraction to him. In other words, no attraction, because he was so attracted to Krishna. And the difference between the two was unlimited. That was repulsive, and that was absolutely unlimitedly attractive, Krishna on that side. So that's something, of course, it takes, we can see, some maturity to have that kind of renunciation or detachment. But even in early stages of practice, there has to be some detachment. When you practice rules like no meeting, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, the rules that Prabhupada gave us. So you have to develop a detachment from those things, or at least you give them up. Then we see quickly, just like every devotee, the thought of eating meat is just, it's unthinkable. It's just unthinkable. So in the beginning, one day, many of us, one day we were meat eaters, the next day, because it was recommended, you have to do this if you want to make spiritual progress, we stopped, and then we saw it didn't take very long, no attraction whatsoever. So all of the things that are not Krishna, they can also become not attractive to us with the steadfast practice of Krishna consciousness. So this is Virakti. The next one is called Mana Shunyata. Shunya means zero. Mana means praise or prestige. That means humility. No desire to be praised by others. Complete humility. Lord Chaitanya says that if you have that humility, then you can chant always, 24 hours a day, spontaneously. So this also takes something, time to develop. Even in our spiritual lives, and just like managers, even in Krishna consciousness, managers have to encourage people. You have to, when someone does something, their name is mentioned. Because we get some enthusiasm from that kind of thing. Which is okay. We do whatever helps us advance in Krishna consciousness. But at advanced stage, the devotee finds himself or feels himself lower than the lowest. He just thinks, everyone is a better devotee than me. I have no love for Krishna. Why should anyone praise me? It's like Prithu Maharaj. When Prithu Maharaj, he was an incarnation of Krishna, he was a ruler of the earth. And during that time, there were professional reciters and glorifiers for the king. This was a tradition, actually. It went into fairly modern times. So they were reciting all the glories of the king, and the king had just come on the throne, and he said, "Well, you what? You're glorifying me. I haven't done anything yet. This is actually an insult to glorify me for something I haven't even done yet." It's like saying that, you know, if you were good looking, you'd be beautiful. So if you're praised and you have humility, you may think, well, this isn't really accurate because I don't have those qualifications. So this is humility, real humility. Of course, we have so many examples in our scriptures of devotees who display, like Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, or Sanatan Goswami, rather. He says that I'm more sinful than Jagai and Madhai. So I won't explain who they are if you don't know who they are, but they were sinful. They were murderers, and among other things. And I'm more sinful than them, and I'm lower than a worm and stool. So that's pretty low. Can't really think too much lower than that. And it's not that he's just saying this some poetic way. They are feeling this kind of humility. So this extreme level is there. And it's a kind of ecstasy also, you can say. It's a very deep feeling and not something that can be imitated. In fact, you might think, well, it seems so debilitating. How could anybody do anything if they felt like that all the time? So this is what it means, Mahatma. Mahatma means broad-minded. The mind or the consciousness of the advanced soul can accommodate things that to us may seem not to make sense. So this is a very glorious quality to have that level of humility. The next one is Ashabandha. Now this is something we may be able to relate to. Ashabandha means, as Prabhupada phrased it, to hope against hope. Which means, even though, just like in the stage of humility, the devotee may think, I am so fallen, how am I ever going to get the mercy of Krishna? How am I ever going to get the darshan of Krishna? How am I ever going to get real love for Krishna? But you have to have hope. You have to have hope. There's a very nice verse, I won't recite the whole thing. Na prema shravanari bhakti rati yogodava vaishnavo. So it has a fairly long verse. So the devotee lists all his disqualifications. Then he says, but you are the person who is especially favorable to those who don't have qualifications. The unqualified persons. Especially in this age, we know Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's looking for he's patita pavana, means he's delivering the most fallen. So he's looking to give his mercy, especially to them. That was a prayer of Sanatan Goswami. He said, you're come to deliver the most fallen. Well, here you go, here I am. If you want to show that's what you're here for, you can start with me. You can deliver me. Everyone will say you can deliver anybody. So, Hinar Tadaka Sadake Twayi, the devotee prays. Hey Gopijana Vallabha Vyatayate Ha Ha Madasha Eva Mam. He says, this is my hope that because you have this quality, that somehow or other, even though I can't do anything right spiritually, you will deliver me nonetheless. You will save me because you're so merciful. So this conviction, of course, is a spiritual conviction. Anybody who has that conviction, it's not that they're disqualified. If you firmly believe that Krishna will deliver you if he wants to, then that's great faith. That's an elevated spiritual quality. So that's called Ashabandha. Literally, that means bound by hope. That hope is keeping you bound there on progressing in spiritual life. Samutkanta means to have great eagerness. In fact, it said, Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati kriyatam yadi kutopa pilabhyate tataloyam api mulam ekalam janma koti sukritaya nalabhyate. This is a verse from which Srila Prabhupada got the phrase Krishna consciousness. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati. So there's a lot of syllables there. Krishna consciousness is just three, four. So Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati. How do you get this Krishna consciousness? Tatra lolyam api mulam ekalam. There's only one price for getting it, and that's intense eagerness. Or lolyam. Lolyam is also translated as greed. People are greedy in this world. They want more and more money. They get so much, These days we're hearing in the news about Monsanto, and they're the big demons of the current age, right? So you probably think, well, they must be such a big, rich, powerful corporation, but they're not ready to stop. They want to eat up more and more and more, more and more resources, more and more property, more and more aspects of people's lives take control. So they greed. So the devotee's greed is for Krishna, 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 only Krishna. Here, I was hearing Prabhupada, a couple of times in recent lectures I was listening to Prabhupada, and he gets so excited sometimes giving the Maha Mantra that he said the Hare Krishna three times. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Because he's so enthusiastic to give the holy name of Krishna. So Krishna, we have to have that enthusiasm too. There's nothing more desirable than Krishna. That's the only thing I want. I only want Krishna. And we have to convince Krishna of that. That's what we have to show. Krishna wants to see, then he'll respond. Now we may be, there's a certain amount of hesitation on our part. Is this really what I want? Maybe there's other things that might look pretty good. Is it only Krishna? Really, only Krishna? We have to know. We have to be convinced. Prabhupada, in his Vyas Puja offering to his spiritual master, he said, now because we have heard from you, no amount of arguments from the other side is going to budge us an inch from our determination to serve the lotus feet of Krishna. So whatever anybody says, no, I want Krishna. That's what I want. So that eagerness is there. And we find it also in many prayers of the saints, Vaishnavas in our tradition. We have a few more. I'll try to run through them quickly. I figured this was going to take time. Namagane Sudaruchi. The next one is to have a taste for the holy name. I mentioned Ruchi is one of the stages up to Bhava. So Namagane Sudaruchi. Namagane means to chant the name. Sada, always. Ruchi, always having that taste. Prabhupada said so many times, I'm always amazed. I hear it and I read it. 24 hours a day, you should chant Hare Krishna. He would say it so many times. And of course, the idea was that if you do it enough when you're awake and in your sleep, you'll also dream about yourself chanting Hare Krishna. The chanting will be there 24 hours a day at a certain stage. So we practice it. And the most advanced devotee, it's actually going on, the holy name of Krishna. Because Asakti comes earlier to that attachment is there. I don't want to stop chanting. Because when I'm chanting, that's Krishna. Krishna is his name. There's no difference. We think, well, there's a difference. There's some difference, right? No, there's no difference. Krishna is his name. So when you realize that, then as soon as you chant Krishna's name, then you're in Krishna's presence. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would go into these ecstasies of separation from Krishna. So the devotees would chant Krishna's name and then he would be pacified. Oh, now I have Krishna because his holy name is there. Now I'm hearing his holy name. Now I have Krishna again. So Namagane Sadaruchi. Then Asakti. This is also one of these stages. So Asakti means very, again, very, very firm attachment to Krishna. You're stuck on Krishna and can't let go. Stuck on Krishna. And specifically here it says, Tad Gunakyane, to very attached to hearing glorification of Krishna, hearing Krishna Katha, hearing about Krishna. You don't want to hear other things. I was thinking, just think if there was only two channels on television, the Krishna channel and the Maya channel. Would you keep it always on the Krishna channel? Or would you have to sometimes peek over there? Let's see what's on channel 666. Instead of channel 108, let's see what's on that other channel. So, asatista gunakyane means you've unplugged that other channel and called your cable company. I only want the 108. You can turn off that other one. I only want to hear about Krishna constantly. And then finally the last one is priti stad basate stale. That means priti means love. Tad basate stale means, tat here means Krishna. To have a love or a desire to live where Krishna lived. Krishna's dham, the holy places of Krishna. So that means, first of all, of course, places like Vrindavan and Mayapur, these dhams. But any place where Krishna is at the center, this Krishna's dham, we call this is New Ramanreti Dham. Because Krishna is, this is his place. Only activities connected to Krishna go on here in this place. So a devotee wants to live because that's all a devotee wants, is to be in that atmosphere. And that's what the qualification is to go to, quote, heaven. We don't call it heaven. We have heaven is a different idea. But to go to the kingdom of God, you have to be comfortable in that atmosphere where the only thing that goes on is related to Krishna. Service to Krishna. That's the only thing that goes on there. And if you have some inkling not to do that 24 hours a day, the rest of eternity, then you're not ready. Sometimes we may think, well, yeah, I really do want to go back to Godhead. But do we? Is our desire that intense? We're ready to serve Krishna for eternity? Or we're still thinking, no, I still got to reap a little service myself. I want to get some for myself. But there are other things. I haven't quite finished my bucket list. Today they talk about bucket lists. Before you kick the bucket, you need to do this or that. So I still have things on my bucket list before I die that I have to do. But bhava means forget about everything else. Are the other things there? That's it. The devotee has forgotten when on that stage. That's why I say we're talking about something real here. Actual realization. Not glimpses of it that we might get. We're talking about the realized state. There's no attraction whatsoever to anything but the lotus feet of Krishna and Krishna Katha and service to Krishna. So when we talk about Hare Krishna, we don't mean just religion, being a nice person, and you know, helping old ladies across the street or whatever your definition of being a good person is. We're talking about something much deeper, much more profound, much more all-encompassing and fulfilling. And it takes some time. It takes some you have to progress there. It may take lifetimes, actually. Prabhupada said we can do it in one life. But we have to be extremely serious. This is another thing, Prabhupada said, don't waste your human life. And he used to say also over and over again, do not take this lightly. It is very serious, he would say, so many times. It is very serious. Take it very seriously. It is not a fanatical thing. It is very scientific. What we are presenting is based on sadhu, shastra, guru. Take it very seriously. Don't take it lightly. And you can progress. You can get Krishna in this lifetime, even though it's such a lofty goal. First, we have to understand how lofty a goal it is. Then we may become a little discouraged, but we have to keep hearing. And then we get encouraged in Prabhupada's association. Actually, I was reading, one of the things was enthusiasm that I mentioned before, sambutkanta. So where does that come from? That comes from primarily association of advanced devotees. So we may look around and say, well, I don't know, I don't see anybody too advanced. Of course, there's always somebody more advanced than me, that's for sure, we can always find. But, if that's your attitude, associate with Prabhupada in his books. Of course, when you do that, then you'll see, yes, there are many devotees more advanced than me. But Prabhupada is present there. Or you can associate with Krishna directly. Prabhupada says in the Bhagavatam, the serious student of the Bhagavatam can see Krishna on every page of the Bhagavatam. And the Bhagavatam, of course, is also filled with the realizations of so many great devotees, Mahajans. So we associate with them, and that transforms us. Their association is so powerful. It gets rid of all of our anarthas, unwanted desires. So that's a little introduction. Much more could be said about all of these things. We have to somehow or other, we want to be inspired. Because when you're inspired, then you can do some things you never thought you could do. So we need to put ourselves in the position to be inspired. And that's why Prabhupada created this movement, to inspire people. He inspired people to congregate in this way and gave them all the tools necessary to gain inspiration, to progress toward these very high goals of Krishna consciousness. So I'll stop here. I don't know if anyone, if everyone's just ready for prasadam, or someone would like to ask a question or say something, make a comment. Yeah, when it gets dark, like, I know myself, I hate when it gets dark so early. I always feel like it's time to go to bed at 6 o'clock. Prabhu, you had something?
Krishna, thank you for the class. Yes. Bhajana Kriya, how does the morning program fit into Bhajana Kriya? What is the importance of the morning program? Say you can't really make it to the morning program on such a regular basis.
Well, everyone should have some kind of a morning program. You may not be able to come to the temple. Prabhupada liked it. He liked devotees to congregate in the temple. But you have to do the principle of all of these things is to accept this is the first principle of surrender. Sadhana is about surrender. So the first principle is to accept what's favorable and reject what's unfavorable. So we may have to analyze it for ourselves. Well, here is my life situation that I'm in for whatever reason. So what's the best thing for me? What's going to work for me? I know devotees who don't come to the temple necessarily, but they're worshiping deities at the home very diligently and making spiritual advancement. No doubt in my mind that they're making spiritual advancement. So there may be one reason or another why you choose not to come to the temple every day, or you can't come to the temple every day. So those of us who are able to come and do come, I think we have to be careful not to judge others who don't come. But when we look at ourselves, we have to see what we have to be sincere. This word, of course, may get thrown around too easily, but it's a fact. Do I want to make spiritual advancement? And what kind of sacrifices am I going to make? So it's not that one can't make spiritual advancement if one doesn't come to the temple. But there should be some kind of daily program. Anudinam. Syat Krishna Nama Charitari Vitapya Vidya. This is by Rupa Goswami, his Upadeshamrita. He says, of course, our problem is that we don't have ruchi, we don't have a taste for Krishna, for Krishna consciousness. So that's why we have to practice in a regulated way. It's like a jaundiced person that can't taste sugar. It doesn't taste sweet, it tastes bitter. So spiritual life in some ways is bitter to us. It's hard for us to do it all the time. So we have to practice. But in that verse it says, anudinam. Anudinam means day after day after day after day. Not, I chant 16 rounds for a few days and then take a day off and then a couple more and another day off, whatever. 15 one day, 13 the next, and 28 the next. Some people have their approach to spiritual life is very passionate. Do all nonsense things, 11 months of the year, spend hours a day watching television or doing this or that, and then 1 month a year go to Kartik and chant all kinds of rounds, and then go back home and return to the same nonsense. This is a passionate approach to spiritual life. Get all dirty, then scrub it up, scrub and scrub hard, and get clean. No, anudinam means, as I said in the beginning, consistent and persistent. Every day, do. So we have to have. And again, we have to analyze. One thing, our chanting is so important. That has to be part of everyone's morning program. Not to work at night and, from some crazy hours or something, which people do, so you have to adjust, maybe. But we should make situations, as I was saying, we want to be inspired, we have to put ourselves in a situation to get inspiration. So especially with our chanting, we have to really work at, if our situation is such that there's all distractions everywhere, and I just can't concentrate because the phone's going to ring, or this is going to happen. Or I know it's very difficult. If you're in, you may be in an ideal situation where you don't have kids around, for example, to distract you. But you have to try to get in a situation where you can concentrate. It said, for example, it's good to have a place where you chant every day or you do your bhajan. You sit down, whether you sit or not, but if you sit, you have your cushion or your chair, so this is my chair. When I sit here, this is when I chant. So your mind gets used to it. Oh, this is, yes, okay. Sit down in the chair. Now my mind is a little more relaxed because this is my chanting chair. Or this is when I do, this is my room to do puja. This is where I think of Krishna. Outside there's so many distractions. But here, this is a sacred space. And today people talk about sacred space. So you should create your sacred space in your home. Every home should have a sacred space. Even if it's a broom closet, it has to be something, some place where you can go to concentrate on Krishna. That's very important. Because if we can't, when we have the time that should be dedicated to our private spiritual practices, private or public, whatever, with others, congregational, but our time for that. So if we're always distracted during those times, what hope is there when we're out in this world? This, we're living in distraction loka today. This world is just, our minds are being pulled here and there, dragged here and there. We have this painting somebody sent us 1 year ago from BTG. We never used it because it's kind of grotesque looking. So one man is sitting in a chair and there are these personalities on each side and they're pulling the senses, so his eyeball is popping out and his nose is being yanked out. So that's what's happening. That's what happens. You walk out the door and boing, everything is trying to. Instead of Krishna pulling, there's this competition, huh? Maya, she has her power too. She's Krishna's power. Maya Shakti. She's no small timer herself. She's empowered by Krishna. So we have to, at least when we have our morning time, or whenever, what time of day it is, we should try to cherish it and guard it, and protect it, and make the best of it. So it may not be, there are some, we might say, are more ideal situations. But whatever we have, we should do, make the best of it. And we should work at trying to make something good that we can sustain and become attached to also. Becoming attached to Krishna means also becoming attached to our regulated practice. I like this. Just like devotees travel, some devotees, they are like traveling salespersons or something. So they get this, they feel this. They come back and they go to the temple and all the devotees are there and they just feel this ecstasy, especially if you leave it for some time. Such a sanctuary. These temples are such sanctuaries of holiness. You can feel the goodness there, purity. So we need to create situations like that for ourselves and become attached to them. That will help us grow step by step. All right, I don't want to keep going. It's late, time for prasadam. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.